The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Sin boldly. That's one of the all-time best quotes from Martin Luther. Sin boldly. But it's kind of a quote that actually can elicit more questions than answers, right? Sin boldly. Aren't we supposed to avoid sin? Isn't sin the thing that keeps us from God? Isn't sin a bad thing? Didn't Jesus come to save us from sin? Well, yes, 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 and yes. But here we hear it again. Sin boldly. Because the alternative is worse. Living with our lives hidden under a bushel, living with our heads under a rock, living with the gifts of God that have been placed within us, hidden. That's worse. Luther is talking about freedom when he says sin boldly, freedom to live our lives, freedom to let our gifts shine. And that's what the gospel today is all about. As many of you know, probably all of you know by now, I have been recovering from a really nasty bout of shingles on my face. It started in my ear, like an ear infection, and then the rash came. You can probably still see the marks here on my face, and it's been a lot. And I'm still recovering. And the prayers that I've received and notes that I've received have been very appreciated. But I don't know about you, but I hate being sick. I hate being locked up in bed. I can't stand not being well. It makes me feel terrible. It makes me feel like a failure, right? When your body isn't well, it makes you just feel terrible, like a failure. And of course, all of this would hit smack dab, not only in the middle of the holidays, but also, as you probably know, smack dab in the middle of when I was supposed to be moving into a new home. Great. What a lot of fun that was. But we made it. It's good. We're there. So after we move in and I'm still recovering from shingles, I was kind of taking stock of things in the backyard. And I love working in my garden. So I was kind of out there planning what we would do. You know, it's this new space. And the first thing I noticed was this big scraggly looking kind of tree in the top corner of the lot, just up this back hill. And it's not a bad looking tree, but it was really strange. It was lots of vigorous growth, lots of foliage, lots of big branches for birds and things. It casts some nice shade on the lawn. That's fine. But in those early days, I looked up at this big tree and I thought, is it just me? Or does this big tree with all these big leaves have spikes coming out of it? Like it's a cactus or something. And then I thought to myself, wow, I must be on some really powerful medication right now. I must be hallucinating. What's going on? But then I had just enough energy that day. So I grabbed some hand shears, you know, and I walked up this hill and I began trimming just around the base of the tree, which was covered. And it was totally covered in branches and roots. And what I discovered was that it wasn't this big bushy deciduous tree at all. It's this very tall yucca tree, kind of more like a cactus, you know, the kinds with those spikes. And it had totally been taken over, probably for the last 30 years, with this old ivy. And these big, beautiful trunks of this yucca tree were covered, like totally spiraled up with these even bigger trunks of ivy. And I'm not talking about little shoots of ivy. I mean, some of them are little shoots. I'm talking about roots coming up from the ground, 3, 4, 5, 6 inches in diameter, snaking around the yucca and then creating this canopy. It's incredible. So last Saturday, I finally had energy for about the first time in 6 weeks. Finally had energy. I went out there and I decided that my first order of business was going to be to cut away this ivy from this yucca tree. And I spent hours doing it. It was really satisfying. And as I worked, I thought to myself, I wish I was preaching a sermon on John the Baptist sometime soon. Because this is it. This is what John the Baptist is talking about. God has created us like this yucca tree, each of us beloved, filled to the brim with the gifts of God, filled with love for one another. And that love, that sense of who we are, can get choked out. Forced to live in a world with ivies that are snaking up around us and leaving us kind of surviving on our tippy toes, leaving us feeling terrible. And if we're not careful, these words from John the Baptist can feel really harsh. He says, one is coming after me who's going to gather the wheat into his granary and the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire. And for many of us, that can sound like, if you don't do things right, you're going to get burned with the chaff, unquenchable fire, hell and damnation, all that fun stuff. And what that can sound like, I think, is sin, it can sound like don't sin, or else, don't even think about it. Don't even get close to sin, or else you're out with the chaff or the goats or the demons or whatever we're calling them today. But I don't think that's what John is saying at all. I think what John is saying is God is sending a Messiah to clear away all of this stuff that has grown all over you. God is sending along one who will clear off the bushes that have grown over your weary and beautiful bones so that you can live. Like that poor yucca tree of mine, beautiful, strong, filled with life, somehow surviving, and yet covered in this ivy. So, right about now, I imagine you're saying to yourself, okay, Pastor, I get it. We're created good. Sin gets in the way, makes things bad. I've heard that sermon before. Great. I'm glad you have. But I think the good news is even sweeter than that. I think that we can take this a couple steps further. And here's the first step. God has already done the work of clearing sin away. That's done. We call that baptism. Everything that threatens to separate us from God is wiped out. At our baptism, as Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descends and a voice rips through the heavens and says, "You, beloved, I delight in you." And that's the only thing that matters about us. That's really the first thing. But then I think we can get this kind of creeping thought in the back of our heads. You might say, well, wait a minute. If we are so beloved, then why do bad things happen, right? Why riots? Why viruses? Why pandemics? Why shingles? Shouldn't God protect us once we walk through these waters of baptism? That's a personal question for me right now. If God's word of belovedness is true, how did I end up with this total pain, this debilitation for these last couple months? And I think if we go down that road, things can get really scary really fast. You can start feeling very futile and cynical and hopeless, especially deep in some social isolation of pandemic. But this is exactly what Luther is talking about when he says, so sin boldly. He doesn't answer that question, why do bad things happen? But he gives us this antidote to the fear that life in this world can bring about, to the threats of all that ivy, right? All those reasons we live with our heads in a bushel, all the reasons we might want to hide ourselves away, all the reasons we might want to feel hopeless. Luther's not saying go out and shoot your enemy or go out and steal from someone. What he's saying is that this word, beloved, frees us. In this life, each of us will face terrible things. There will be things that threaten us, a virus that puts us in bed and incapacitates us. I think I'll probably be fighting off the ivy off that yucca tree for as long as I own this house. But from Isaiah, these ancient words we hear, when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you enter into fire, it will not consume you. Do not fear, because the only word that matters about you is beloved. You're so free, beloved, that you can sin boldly. Beloved, you are so free that you can live boldly. And for that, for the gift of baptism, for the gift of this freedom, we say, thanks be to God. Amen.